because we have, you know, we have some awesome kids in this church and awesome parents, and you know, help is on the way with this building. Praise God! We are going to be able to break our nursery and our little bit older kids, you know, break them up to where we have nursery from crawler to age four, and then we're going to have a children's church for 5 to 7 year olds, where they're going to go and start learning the foundations and Bible stories and get a good. It's almost going to be like school for them, but in, you know, a fun way. I mean, they hear school, they think, I'm not coming to that church. But it'll be fun, praise God, and they'll do fun things, and it'll be good. And so that'll be good because we can break them up, and God wants to do awesome things in our young kids, amen? And I'll tell you, parents, you're doing a good thing by putting your kids in church, praise God, instilling them and having them be watered by the things of God. Even in nursery now, you know, it's not maybe as learning intensive because of some of the younger kids, right now and that, but once we get them in, just even being back there, being in church, being around the things of God, it instills something in them at a young age, and so you're to be commended and keep it up, but that new building's going to be awesome. We'll have a nice big room for them to learn, praise God, and get grown up, and we'll have a big celebration when they all move in to the service when they're 8 years old. It'll be awesome. Praise God. So good things ahead. Well, if you have your Bibles today, you can open them to Colossians chapter 3. The Word's good. We're blessed. This is the best part of our week, whether you know it or not. It even beats the cheese and stuff I'm going to eat later. It's better than that. That's going to be good, too. Trust me. That's going to be good. I am a sucker for homemade mac and cheese. Oh, especially if it's got a crumbly topping on it. Woo! Oh, I better stop or I'm going to speed my service up too fast. Let's try to get there. Colossians 3. Let's pray and believe God for utterance. Lord, we love you this morning. Lord, I just can't get the smile off my face because I'm just so thrilled with you, so in love with you, Father. Doesn't mean I'll never face anything. Doesn't mean that I'm not facing things right now, but I just, my mind's on you. My thoughts, my hopes, my desires are on you, and that takes care of everything, Father. If I seek you first, everything else will fall into place. So, Father, I love you this morning. I'm in love with you. I'm in awe of you, Father. I'm just overwhelmed by your goodness. All that you've done in my life, all that you've done in so many other people's lives, and all that you desire to do in everybody's life. You're so good. The goodness can't even be described in English. The love that you have, the mercy that you have, the forgiveness. Hallelujah. Thank you for fresh starts. Thank you for second, third, fourth, 100 chances. Father, you're so good, so kind. We love you this morning. We praise you. Father, give us utterance. Give us help this morning. Speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray that I would say something that would strike a chord with every single person here. And Father, I know you'll do it because you do it every time. And it'll be a sign unto everybody that not only is God, that you're real, but Father, that this is a place where they can hear from you, that where their life can be bettered. And we're so grateful and so thankful for what's about to take place. Father, we are expecting great things today. But you get the credit, you'll get the praise, and you'll get the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Colossians 3 and verse 14. It says, and normally if you're visiting or if you're newer with us, I usually preach for about, I usually say 40 minutes, but that's a lie. It's usually around 50 minutes, and that's usually kind of where we go, so we won't be here all day long, but it'll be good the time we're here. It says in Colossians 3 and verse 14, it says, and above all these things, put on charity. Well, that word's a little bit blind to us because we think of the word charity and we think of maybe giving to the Salvation Army or donating to something, a needful cause. But that word charity in the Greek is the word love. It's actually the word agape. It says, put on agape, which is the bond of perfection. The Message Bible says this, and regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. I started archery hunting back in 2000 or 2001, I can't remember. I went with a friend and was just completely hooked on it after being in the woods in early October and seeing the deer in the natural state. You know, I was used to gun season, deer running around like crazy, you know, scared and wounded and things. And here a doe and a fawn came in and were just eating apples, and it was just the awesomest thing. I've been obsessed with deer since I've been a little kid. I used to love to go just examine road kills. Because it got me close to the deer. Poking the eyes and the belly. I just loved it. I love it. Just love them. Loved it. It's my favorite animal. And so, I'm weird, I know. Trust me, you don't have to. I don't claim to not be. I already know this. You know it too. And so anyways, I, I started hunting. I loved it. And but when I first started, you know, I would climb up 20, 25, 30 feet a tree with a tree stand. And, you know, I didn't know anything about any equipment or anything. And one time I was in there and I lost my footing and I almost went down. I said, okay. And I started to learn, well, there's got to be something. Well, they make harnesses for them for being in a tree where you can actually hook in from the bottom of the tree and be hooked in all the way. So you're never in danger. If you slip, you're just going to dangle back and forth a little bit until someone comes and gets you. And I had an uncle who years ago, this would have been probably 7, 8 years ago, I think now, on Thanksgiving morning, he didn't take his medication or whatever, didn't take a food, something happened, and he passed out in his tree stand and fell 25 feet on his back and had to bring in a helicopter, and family called me. And it's amazing how some family members think you're crazy until they need you. And they were calling me, and I drove up to Erie and laid hands on him, and praise God, he got fully healed by the power of God. Doctors were saying one thing, and God did another thing. And so he kind of learned a lesson that I'm never going up in a tree again without a harness. And I currently hunt with those Amish folk that I told you about that I go down to Ohio with. And it was interesting on the way home this year with the dad, Jonas Sr. and Jonas Jr., his son, and they got to talking about it. And the dad revealed that he doesn't wear a harness. And his son was like, what in the world do you mean you don't wear a harness? That is the dumbest. And he just was giving his dad and he should, you know. And so he was urging him that, because all it takes is one wrong move in a tree stand. And you think that you're not going to do it, or you think you're okay, but I'll tell you what, if you fall asleep or one wrong slip or just anything, lose your balance, boy, it could really have harmful effects on your life. And I've heard so many horror stories. And so I don't leave my house without my harness. And if I get to my tree and I forgot it, I'll just hunt from the ground. It's not worth it to me. I got a family, churches and things like that. And so it's something that I make sure to put on. Because if I don't put that on, there's a fall that could potentially happen. And it could be dangerous and it could be hurtful. And so just the same way Jonas Jr. wasn't mad at his dad in the sense of, you know, angry and trying to beat him over the head. It came from a place of love and encouragement and pleading almost to dad, please wear this. Please wear this. We want you to be around. And so as the pastor of the church today with this message, it's not to beat people over the head, because there's things that when you talk about walking in love, everybody's affected in the service, because walking in love is an area that every day we're going to have to deal with. Because, you know why? Because we have to deal with people. And every time you have to world with people, you're going to have to be in love. So if the message steps on your toes or it comes across and rubs your, you know, pets your fur sideways or mows your grass backwards or whatever, don't get upset about that. Amen? Because it's coming from a place as the pastor of urging you, put this on. Don't leave here without love. Don't go out every day without love, because if you do, there's a fall coming. There's hurt that could come. There's pieces that could be broken. And we need to, from this point going forward, every single one of us in this church, endeavor to say, I'm not going out without my love harness. The Message Bible says, and regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. The Bible says it's the bond of perfectness. He wants you to have love on. Put it on. There's times I don't feel like wearing that harness. It makes it a little bulky. It's got straps around my arm, straps around my legs, straps around my waist, and actually it's a lot more comfortable without it, but I don't care what it feels like. It's best that I wear that thing. And at times you might not feel like walking in love, and you might not feel like doing what the Word says in love. And there might be situations and circumstances where it would be more comfortable to not walk in love. But I'm urging you out of love, out of care for you. I don't want to see you crash to the ground. I don't want to see people being hurt. Wear this garment. Amen. And here, I'll show you why. Go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. The Lord told me when I started this church, the two areas that we will major on in this church will be faith and love, faith and love. And we'll hit other topics. But we're going to talk a lot about faith here, and we're going to talk a lot about love here. In Galatians 5 and verse 6, it says, for in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. And now you're going to see why pastor's urging you, why he's pleading with you to wear this thing, no matter what it feels like, no matter how comfortable it is to put it on, is because of this verse. It says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision. But here we go. But faith which worketh by love. Josh, if you pull that verse up in the Amplified, it's going to bring it out and bring it more clear to people. Look at what it says. For if we are in Christ Jesus, circumcision or uncircumcision doesn't count for anything. It did in the Old Testament, but we're in a new covenant. But only faith. We know that in this church. You can't get anything from God without faith. You didn't get saved until you had faith. Every other promise, that's like what I was talking in the announcements about that book, Christ the Healer. A lot of people don't experience divine health on the earth, not because God's withholding it. Because just like a lot of people don't receive Jesus, they never hear about Him. You can't have faith for Jesus till you hear about Him. It's the same way with healing. Until you find out what God has said, then you can appropriate faith. Same with finances. Until you find out what God has said, then you can appropriate faith. Faith is everything. It's how you receive, the Bible says, His promises. It's how you get saved. It's how you overcome. The just shall live by faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Every single thing that we're going to get from God is going to come through the avenue of faith. Amen. It's just the way it is. It's the way He set things up. So the Bible says that circumcision or uncircumcision, it's not where it's at anymore. But faith, praise God. That's our part. Amen. That's the thing we need to master. But notice this, faith activated. So I guess faith has to be activated. Yes. Faith energized. Faith has to be powered. And expressed and working through love. Amen. That faith that causes all these other areas in our life to be blessed, causes our money to come, causes our health, causes our children to be blessed and protected, causes our marriages, causes our jobs, every single area of our life that faith can reach out to. Faith has to be activated, and it has to be powered, and it works by love. Amen. I was in a different camp in Ohio. There was a different place that we went to. That was a little bit farther south, east Ohio. And at this place, and the one place we stay at this beautiful big Amish home. It's just such a blessing. And the other place we go, they have this huge, like, camper that they have that's powered by a generator. And it's awesome. It's got sleeping quarters, kitchen, all this wonderful things. You can hunt and come back there and just have a good old time. And one morning, it was like, I don't know, 10 degrees, and with the wind chill, it was below zero. And I just wasn't feeling well. I had been getting up too early and really kind of pushing my body. This was last year, and just not using very much wisdom. How many know you got to use wisdom? And I wasn't using much, just being too obsessed with it. So I said, I need to use wisdom. The weekend's coming. I need to go and just take a nap. And as hard as that is in November to do, I just knew it was right. And so I went back, and I walked into the camper, and I could see my breath. Like, it's freezing. I can't sleep here. What's going on? Because the generator usually powers the lights. I couldn't get any lights to work or anything. Well, I went outside, and the generator wasn't running. I didn't even pay attention to it when I got there. Just wasn't feeling that well. I wanted to just get in bed. So I went out there, and just pulling on that thing, over and over again. Didn't even, I'm just not feeling right, not in my right mind. And even when I'm in my right mind, I'm not in my right mind. And so I can't even just use that as an excuse. It's just the truth. Sometimes I'm just kind of like, my head's in the clouds. I'm the first to admit it. And so I got there, and I'm pulling and pulling and pulling, and I'm thinking, well, this is a bummer, because that thing is going to be responsible for me having heat. That thing's going to be responsible for me having lights and power, so I needed to charge my phone, because when you're out in the cold like that, it just sucks the battery right out of that thing real fast. And I'm like, man, but that generator represented faith. Just like your faith has the ability to power everything in your life, your money, your kids, your marriage, your health, every single thing, your job, your favor, your protection, your long life, all those things, your faith, not your spouse's, your faith, not your pastor's, your faith has the ability to power all those things. But just like that generator did, it didn't even dawn on me, check to see if there's any fuel in there. Well, after I'm yanking on it and getting frustrated, I finally open up and say, oh, I'm glad nobody's watching. That's the stupidest thing you could do. And I just dumped some fuel in it. They had a little fuel can right there. I mean, you'd think, no, it's right there. Dumped it in. Boom, started that thing up. Got that thing heated up, and everything was fine. Well, it's the same way with your faith. Your faith needs fuel to run.
That's right.
Your faith needs fuel to run. And the fuel that your faith is going to run on is love.
Yeah.
You take love out of the equation, And you take your faith and you say, my faith is going to sit here idle. My faith is going to sit here unpowered and it's not going to work. And so, that's my heart this morning with this message. It's not to stand up here and just point out different things that God's put on my heart to share concerning love, just to say, oh, well, let's just drive it into people. No, I'm urging you. Your faith depends on you walking and putting this garment on, not leaving without it, praise God. Go to real quick, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 2. Hallelujah. Amen. So as a loving pastor, I'm urging. I'm urging. See, because there's nothing... When people tell me they're prospering, when people tell me things are working out, when people tell me breakthroughs with their children, and I get so thrilled because I wish you could understand a pastor's heart. Amen. I have such an intense love for the sheep. 1 Corinthians 13:2, Josh. An intense love for the sheep. You are on my mind and on my heart always. I don't say that to look like some hero. I'm just telling you it's the truth. I love the church. I love the people of the church. I want to see you do so well. I will do everything in my power to see that you're doing well. As much as you'll allow me, I will do it because I just want to see you prosper and thrive. I want to see you walk in all the blessings of God. So I am urging you, take this seriously. Take this seriously. You don't want to fall. He said, and though, this is Paul talking, I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Now notice this, and though I have all faith. Well, that's good. All faith means he can power it to every single thing he needs to power it to. His job, his ministry, his family, his health, his money, his mind, his protection, his favor. Isn't that what a generator can do? A generator can make it so your curling iron can work. A generator can make it so your hair dryer can work. A generator can make it so your microwave can work. A generator can make it so your ceiling fan works. So your TV works. It can power all these things. Same with faith. But just like the generator needs fuel, so does your faith. And he said, though I have all faith, that I could remove mountains. Isn't that what we desire? The mountain moving type of faith? He said, if I don't have charity, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. It doesn't matter that you believe without a shadow of a doubt that God can heal your body. Doesn't matter if you don't have love.
That's right.
Doesn't matter if you know without a shadow of a doubt that God is Jehovah Jireh and that He's going to provide for you. Doesn't matter if you don't have love. Your faith isn't working.
That's right.
And so I'm going to point out three characteristics. There's more, but this is what's on my spirit to do. Three characteristics of love that will help us. And if it comes across and you realize, my goodness, I need adjustment there, just adjust.
Amen.
God's not a God of condemnation. We have to understand that, church.
Amen.
There is therefore now no condemnation, Romans 8 and verse 1 says. He's not a God of condemnation. He's a God of help.
Amen.
But if you feel a conviction in your heart, say, I could really do better in that area, and I'm kind of maybe my fuel level's a little bit low and I'm sputtering on fumes, we'll just make an adjustment. Okay? Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
And let me tell you why it is imperative that you do that. Paul said, if I have faith over all mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. As bold as I can say this, and as loving as I can say it, mixed with the boldness, don't expect your finances to come if you're not going to be a person that walks in love. Just stop believing for money.
Yeah.
Trying to save you from wasting your time.
Don't
believe God for your divine health if you're not going to walk in love, because it's not going to work.
That's right.
Stop praying for your children to be blessed and protected if you're not going to walk in love, because those words are falling empty because you have no fuel behind that faith. Just stop it. I'm just telling you. I'm being as truthful as I can to urge you to do this, because it's just the truth. Because just like we'd say, oh, I want that generator to work for that TV, the big ball game's on, and you sit there and refuse to go put gasoline in that generator, you're foolish.
Yeah, that's right.
And to say, oh, I'm praying for my kids.
Yeah.
Don't treat your spouse bad and expect things to work out for you, because that's not love.
Right.
Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. That's why it's vital that we say, okay, I'm going to put this on. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care how uncomfortable it is. I'm going to put it on because everything in my life depends on it. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's go real quick. 1 John 4:8. Some characteristics of love. 1 John 4:8. I'll just show you three of them. Well, the good news is you know we'll be out of here before 6:30 because that's when the game starts.
No.
So, I mean, today we do have an end game. Right? I mean, we know that's going to happen. And actually, it takes me 45 minutes to drive home, so we'll be out of here by 5:30. For sure, we'll be out of here by 5:30. I promise you. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 John 4, verse 8 says this, "He that loveth not does not know God, for God is love."
Amen.
Well, the reason I bring that out is because we can get a picture of what love is by looking at God, because that's who He is.
Yeah.
He says, "I am love." If you're ever confused at what a short person looks like, just look at Jim Walker. That's all you gotta do. He zinged me out there, so that's just payback. See, we're a church that believes in sowing and reaping. And so, what does short look like? Oh, yeah, that's right, Jim. Praise God. If you ever want to know what love looks like, just look at God.
Amen.
Just look at... Why wasn't Sue here for that one? She needs to hear that one. What is she doing? Praise God. Just look at God. He's love. Just look at God. And so, one characteristic that we can see of God that people lack dearly in their love walk is that God is a God of forgiveness.
Hallelujah.
God is the picture of forgiveness. God does not hold grudges. God does not take account of everyone's wrong and write it on a laundry list and use it to get back. No, one of the main characteristics of love that is so lacking in the body of Christ is the area of forgiveness. God is forgiveness. Go with me to Colossians 3 and verse 12. Colossians 3 and verse 12 says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering." Verse 13. Notice this. "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you," or so you do the same thing. Forgive. Forgive. Hallelujah. Praise God. Forgiving one another. Praise God. Aren't you glad He forgave you?
Amen.
Now, before I even go further, again, I told you, wearing the harness is very uncomfortable at times. Wearing the harness is very inconvenient at times. But if I don't wear it, I'm in danger.
Yep, that's right.
Forgiving can be very uncomfortable at times. And you might hear me say that, and instantly your mind goes to a situation, and instantly your thought is, "I don't give a rip what comes out of your mouth, Pastor. I'm not forgiving." You can do that, but remember, don't expect your kids to be blessed. Don't expect your finances to work out. Don't expect your marriage to work. Don't expect favor on your job. Don't expect protection. Don't expect favor. Don't expect blessing. If you choose that, you can choose whatever you want. God will let you do whatever you want. That's why I'm urging you, do this. And I'm telling you, it's uncomfortable at times.
Sure.
But forgiving one another, if any has a quarrel against any, go with me to Mark chapter 11 and verse 25.
Praise
to
God.
Even further stress to you,
hallelujah,
the importance of this, and then I want to kind of look at what forgiveness is. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just stress to you, this is the will of God. The Word of God is the will of God.
Amen.
Anytime you take a step outside of the will of God, that's when danger, danger, danger comes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
What does the Bible say? The wages of sin is what?
Death.
Yeah. Sin, when we think of sin, our minds goes to things like unspeakable acts, murder, and lying and stealing. We go to all these things. Anytime you do anything outside of this book, that you go against what this book says or what your spirit says, that's sin.
Yeah.
That's sin.
Right.
If God tells you to go talk to somebody and you don't do it, that is just as much sin as murder. It might not carry the same level of consequences,
right,
but it's still sin, and the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So sin, we got to make sure we know what that word is, because we hear sin and ooh, we get scared and don't talk about that. All sin is just disobedience to God.
Yeah.
And it comes in many different forms and it looks in many different ways. And so look what Mark 11 and verse 25 says. Because the will of God is that you forgive. Mark 11, 25 says, and. So that means it's connected to previous verses, and I'll tell you about those in a second. It says, and when you stand praying, forgive. Now this is the best part of that verse. If you have aught, that means anything, against any. The will of God and the word of God says, when you're in that place of praying, why would you be in a place of praying? Because the previous two verses told you in verse 24 that you're in a place of praying the prayer of faith. And in verse 23, it's talking about releasing your faith through your words. So verse 23 tells us you can have what you say through faith. Verse 24 says you can have what you pray through faith. But verse 25 says it all hinges on this verse. And when you stand praying, when you stand confessing, believing God for your children, your finances, your body, your job, your protection, whatever, when you stand saying that or when you stand praying that, if you have anything against anyone, if you want your words to work, if you want your prayers to work, you better forgive anybody that has done anything against you. The Bible says forgive. The Bible and the Word of God leaves no room for bitterness, strife. It leaves no room for grudges. It leaves none. It says anything they've done. Because our minds will go to, well, you don't understand what's been done to me. That verse takes care of that thought. And we're not being incompassionate. I know people have been wronged. People have had awful things done to them. But still, the Word of God does not fall below your circumstance. Your circumstances do not trump the Bible. The Bible says anything. You know what's anything? Anything. Your situation in your mind that you're saying, I'll never do that, falls into anything.
Yeah.
And your faith depends on it.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm urging the church, wear your love harness. Matthew 18, 21. But it's not comfortable to forgive them. So what? Wear it.
Yeah.
Wear it.
Amen.
I don't want to wear my winter coat in the car. It's too puffy. Wear it when you go outside. You're going to be cold.
Yeah.
You're going to catch a cold. Matthew 18 and verse 21. Remember, as Christ has forgiven you, so you forgive.
Amen.
It is one of the most hypocritical things in the world to be someone that walks in unforgiveness when you have been forgiven for everything.
That's right.
When you have been, your slate has been wiped clean time and time again by a merciful, loving Jesus. And to stand in a place of holding a grudge is so hypocritical.
Thank you, Father.
Matthew 18, 21 says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother, not someone even outside, he's talking about brother. How often shall my brother sin against me and I shall forgive him? Just seven times? I mean, after seven times, I'm pretty fed up with it. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto you until seven times, but until 70 times seven.
Yeah.
He's basically saying, you forgive any time.
Right.
If your faith's going to work, that's what you'll do. Yeah. Now look at this. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king. My next 2 points won't be as long as this one. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. Verse 24, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. So this guy had a big debt, didn't he? But for as much as he had to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children, and that he had to pay it, because he couldn't pay it, so he said, okay, well, we'll start selling things off, including your family. That'll pay my debt back. That's how they did things back then. The servant, therefore, fell down and worshipped him. How many of you can say that that servant was in a need of mercy? He was standing in a place where he needed mercy. He said, the servant fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you back. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him of the debt. But the same servant, now this is the guy that just was forgiven, but the same servant went out and found one of his own servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. Oh, I'll tell you, maybe that's what I need to do, lay hands on some people. Take them by the throat and shake some things out of them. Glory to God. And he said, pay me what you owe. Now, this is a guy that just got forgiven of something way bigger than this guy owes him. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet the same way this guy just got done doing. Besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So his fellow servants saw what was done. They were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Now they're going to go tell the guy that just forgave him big time and say, you know what the guy that you just forgave just did? Then his Lord, after he had called him, said to him, oh, you wicked servant, I forgave you all your debt because you desired it of me. Shouldest not you have had the same compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you if you, your hearts, forgive not everyone his brother's trespasses. Here's what happens when you don't forgive and you walk out of love. You walk outside the things of God, God's hand is removed from your life.
Yeah, that's right.
And the devil moves right in and has his way. Not God's will. God's will is always to protect and keep you safe.
Yeah.
But you walk out of love and you walk into unforgiveness. How hypocritical for this guy. Just got forgiven 10,000 talents, gets it completely taken away, and this other guy has 100, and he says, nope, you're going to prison. Hypocritical. It's the same thing we do. Somebody wrongs us. Oh, I'm going to just bury them. I'm going to hold a grudge against them. I'm going to let them know it. I'm going to make sure they pay for this thing. And here you are, standing in a place totally redeemed from all the stupid mistakes you've ever made, from all the sin you've ever done, and you're going to be bitter at someone else. You better not do that.
So good.
Hypocritical. Hypocritical. And remember about forgiveness. Forgiveness is kind of like, he said, well, I love how he used it in money terms. He said, I forgive you of the debt. The debt's gone. Well, guess what? That means that that guy does not have to live according to that debt anymore.
That's right.
When you forgive somebody, you are letting them off the hook for what they have done to you.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's good.
Now, one area that can trip people up with that is, I should say this way. You don't have to be held accountable to what you did anymore. It's gone. But that does not mean that that you can walk right back into a place of trust. Let me use an example. Say I took out a loan from somebody, and I couldn't pay it, and I went there and I did what this guy did. And they said to me, I have compassion on you, I'll forgive you of that debt. Doesn't mean that a week later, if I need more money and I go back to that person, that they have to give me a loan. Oh no, that trust needs to be earned. That trust needs to be built back up. But also, I don't have to, but that previous debt, I'm not accountable to that anymore. It's been forgiven. So when you forgive somebody, stop holding that debt against them.
Right.
In your mind, in your thoughts, in your actions, in your words, it's done with and gone. Doesn't mean you let them back in fully and trust them, and that has to be earned and everything. We understand that. But my goodness, that debt's gone. You don't have to make them pay and pay. Did Jesus make you pay and pay and pay? You know what God did? The moment you asked for forgiveness, he forgave it and forgot it, and it now treats you like you never did that thing wrong. That's what God does.
Yeah.
That's the God kind of love that will keep your faith going.
Hallelujah.
Number two, and again, these won't be as long. Characteristic and goes along with forgiveness is mercy. Mercy. We've all needed mercy. Where we've been in a place. And mercy goes along with forgiveness. They're kind of hand in hand. But I truly believe that mercy will lead to forgiveness.
Yeah, that's good.
When you show mercy, forgiveness will follow. So maybe we should have done mercy first, but we didn't. We could rewind it if you want, but we won't. Mercy, we've all been in a place where we've missed it. Flat out done things wrong. Regret, wish we could go back and change it. Who hasn't been there? And if you say, I have never been there, please come here real quick. We're all going to lay hands on you and cast those devils out of you. Because you have lying devils that are attached to your life. We've all screwed up. And let me just say this way, with mercy and forgiveness going hand in hand. Not only do you have to forgive other people, but you better, real quick, forgive yourself.
Amen.
The Bible says if you have anything against anybody, guess what? You're an anybody.
Right.
If you sit there and beat yourself up, and you don't, because faith says, I repented for that. I've repented for that. I'm moving on. Now, if there's trust that has to be built back up, you're happy to do that. But you don't have to sit there and beat yourself up over what you did anymore.
Right.
It's over with. You ought to treat yourself the way God treats you.
Yeah.
And show yourself mercy. And we've all been in a place where we have screwed things up, maybe financially, maybe in our marriage, maybe with relationships, maybe with our kids, maybe with our jobs, maybe whatever. We've all been there in different ways. We've all been in a place of needing mercy. And one characteristic of this love that keeps fueling your faith is showing mercy to those that need mercy. Go with me to Ephesians 2 and verse 4. Hallelujah. This is good, isn't it?
Amen.
Keeps us straight.
Hallelujah.
Keeps our faith going.
Amen.
Not the most comfortable thing to preach or hear, but keeps our faith going.
Amen.
But God. Remember, you are to imitate Him. Ephesians 5:1 says you are a copycat God. But God, who is rich in mercy. He has a lot of mercy for His great love where He loved us. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins. What was sins? Dead in our place of being wrong. Dead in our place of doing things wrong, messing things up, even when we're in that condition. And it's not just when you got born again, because 1 John 1:9 is for the Christian that fails. He said, and he's talking to Christians, he says, if any of you sin, confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you. So when you're in that place of being a screw-up and messing things up, God is rich in mercy and has quickened us together. By grace you are saved. Hallelujah. Forgiven us. Hallelujah. James 2 and verse 14. James 2 and verse 14. Again, I never. That's why I started this off. I never claimed that this was simple. I never claimed that your mind and your flesh aren't going to fight this. Never claimed it. And you can abide by your mind and flesh. And you can say, I don't care what you say. You can do that, but you have to understand the consequences of saying that and making that decision. Yeah, I remember one time I was with a couple. This was probably it had been 3 or 4 years ago now. And I met with them in private. And the way they were treating each other a certain way. And then they somehow got off on a rabbit trail and started telling me how they were believing for this and this and their kid. And I didn't mean to do this, but I just started laughing. I usually don't. I'm not trying to be mean to people, but it made me laugh. And they said, Pastor, what's so funny? I said, I think it's hilarious that you're telling me that you're doing this for your kids and believing this for your kids, and you're talking to each other like that. And you're treating each other like that. I said, you think your faith's working? You don't have any faith for your kids. Your faith doesn't have any fuel in it. It's sputtering. It's running on fumes, if there's even any fumes in there.
Sure.
You have to make a choice. What do I want in life? Praise God.
Yeah.
Do I want to go with my flesh and mind, which feels justified to make people pay and to let them know how upset I am and to keep driving it, keep reminding them, keep treating them bad, ignoring them and holding them to the fire? Is that because that feels good? Or do I want to be blessed, walk in health, walk in prosperity, walk in peace, know that my kids are protected, know that my business is working, know that my finances are good? Your choice.
Yeah.
I know what I'm choosing.
Yeah.
To me, it's simple. James 2 and verse 14 says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say, I don't want that verse. What in the world just happened? Glory to God. James chapter 2 and verse 11. Yes. No, 12. Let's do 12. James 2 and verse 12. Aren't you glad I'm not perfect? I mean, again, I think that I'm put in this position because I give people hope. I'm serious. I was with another pastor the other day. And he was saying stuff to me and just thanking me for it. And I said, brother, I'm not saying this to be humble or funny. I really believe I'm in this position to give people hope. If that guy can do it and be successful, surely I can do it. I'm serious. And praise God. He used a donkey. And I've been called worse. I have. He said, so speak ye and do so as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. He says, speak and act like you want to be judged by the law of liberty or freedom. He said in verse 13, for he that has judgment without mercy. Now, remember, you can choose what you want, but remember, this is what's going to happen now. If you choose to be in a place of, I'm going to stick it to them, I'm going to make them know, I'm going to make them pay. Oh, and they're going to know, and they're going to know every time they see me that I'm holding this grudge, and I'm every time. For he that has judgment without mercy, that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. Now let me read that in English. Josh, pull that up in the Amplified, please. For to him who has shown no mercy, oh, the judgment will be merciless. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? But mercy, full of glad confidence, exalts victoriously over judgment. Do you know how you can make sure that you don't stand in a place of merciless judgment? Pull out the trump card. It's called mercy. Mercy exalts victoriously over judgment. You want to stand in a place where mercy's coming your way? Pull the trump card out and exalt mercy in every situation. Mercy trumps the card of judgment. Galatians 6 and verse 1, and then I'll go to the last point. Galatians 6 and verse 1. Galatians 6 and verse 1. And we'll do that in that King James, please. How many of you here want to be spiritual? Who wants to be carnal? Who wants to be spiritual? If you want to be spiritual, raise your hand. Me! All your hands should be up, by the way. Carnality leads to death. You don't want to be carnal. You want to be spiritual.
Amen.
Well, you want to be spiritual, you got to be this verse.
Right.
Brethren, if anybody be overtaken in a fault, what's that mean? Brethren, if anybody around you has screwed up and missed it, you which are spiritual, slam them, hammer them, talk bad about them, look at them bad, got spread rumors about them. No. You which are spiritual. And by the way, the Bible says that love covers sins. Love doesn't put sin on Facebook, put sin on the phone, on the news, and tell everybody. Love covers sin.
Yeah.
It says the spiritual people, when somebody's down and out, will restore them.
Yeah, right.
Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. The Bible says when you go merciless against somebody and you just come down hard, you're not. Considering yourself that someday you might be in the same exact position and need someone to pick you up. Listen, anybody who ever says they've not messed up and messed up royally bad and been in a place, they're fooling themselves. We all have been there and we all might be there. And the spiritual people are going to come along and pull someone up and pick somebody back up, not kick them when they're down. That's a spiritual person because that's what God does. Hallelujah. Last but not least, are you ready?
Yeah.
Save the best for last.
Amen.
I just want to put it in the best terms I know how. Love doesn't talk junk about people.
That's good.
Oh, it is good. Oh, I know it. It is good. You are right. James chapter 4 and verse 11.
Crazy.
You want your faith to keep going, you better start shutting your mouth. It's true.
Yeah.
I speak truth and no lie up here.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen.
We teach him. I don't care what other kids are saying in school. You always go the right way. You always speak kindly about somebody. I don't care if somebody wrongs. You never say anything bad. We will not let him say anything bad about somebody. Now, he might tell us things that are going on, and that's fine. But never are we going to come to a place where we're just going to sit around and slander somebody else. That's not love. Not going to ever happen in our home. James 4 and verse 11. Speak not evil of one another, brethren. How sad that James even has to say that. Christians talking smack about other Christians behind their back.
Right.
Don't speak evil of one another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are a doer of the law. But a judge, praise God. Go to, real quick, we didn't need all that other verse, I just wanted to tell you in the beginning of it. Go real quick to Ephesians 4 and verse 29. And then I'm going to meddle for a second, and then we'll close. Ephesians 4 and verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. The Bible said that there ought to be one, the same mouth that we praise Jesus with, should not be the same mouth we put wrong things in, the same mouth that speaks wrong things out of, the same mouth that slanders. If we're praising Jesus, Paul said, can a stream produce bitter and sweet? Can it come?
Wow, that's good.
Double-minded. Don't be like that. Wow. This was meant for praising and doing wonder and bringing blessing.
Amen.
And creating things in your life, good things. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now notice this, and grieve not the Holy Ghost. When you speak evil of other people and you talk bad about other people and your mouth's not used for what it's supposed to be used for, you're grieving the Spirit of God.
Wow.
My goodness. My goodness. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you are sealed on the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32, you want to know what you're supposed to do to another Christian instead of running your mouth to other Christians about them? Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you.
Yeah, that's good.
Proverbs 16 and verse 28. You don't have to turn there, Josh. This is what it says in the NIV. A perverse person stirs up conflict. You have to understand something. When you start doing this, that's poison.
Yeah.
It is poison.
Right.
And it's called a perverse person. You know what the word perverse means? It means to be turned away from what is right or good, or corrupt, a deliberate desire to behave in a way that is unacceptable. It is unacceptable to speak wrong about people behind their back, and even more so to your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right.
Talking bad about them. It's dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to get in a conversation, I'm just going to show you what's going to happen. When you get in a conversation, oh, did you hear what they do? Oh, look at them. Oh, this, that. Unbuckle your harness, taking your harness off, and you're climbing up real high in a tree, and you're just hoping that the wind doesn't catch you wrong, or that you make a wrong step, or that you don't fall asleep.
Yeah, that's good.
That happens. We don't talk bad about one another. In Acts chapter 9, we won't, for time's sake, I'm getting us out of here. Acts chapter 9, the Bible says that Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was appeared to by Jesus on the way to Damascus. And what was Paul doing? It tells us before that Saul was persecuting the church. He was hurting Christians. Now, he wasn't a Christian yet, but he was hurting Christians. But notice what Jesus said. He said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, Jesus was not the one on the earth that Paul was thrown in prison. But actually, yes, he was, because Jesus' body, the body of Christ, the people of God, Jesus said, I take that personally. When you harm and do something against another Christian, you're doing it to Jesus. When you speak evil of another Christian and run your mouth, you are talking about Jesus. You are. And he said, why are you persecuting me? When you do it to my church, you're doing it to me. We ought to be so sweet to the believers. They're God's children.
Amen. Amen. Good word.
I'll tell you what. How do you treat your pastor's children? How much more for God's children?
Yeah.
My goodness.
Hallelujah.
I want to go on with even a step further just to help you. Numbers chapter 12, and then I'm going to tell you what not to be, and we'll close. We'll be done. And we'll eat a light lunch because we got to save room for later. So don't forget, that's a key on Super Bowl Sundays. Don't starve yourself, because actually your stomach will shrink a little bit. You won't be able to fit as much. You got to get a little bit in there at lunchtime, and then you'll be ready for tonight. You'll be all set. So don't go all out at lunch. You got to save it. 6:30 is not here yet. It says, and Miriam, so God says, don't speak against people. Talk bad about them. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. Who is Moses? Their leader. I'm telling you this. You do what you want, but I'm telling you this to keep you safe. Because I've seen some things. I don't think I'm anything special. And I am in God's eyes, but I believe your part in this is just as important as my part in this. And I mean that. We all have a part. If we all do our part, we're going to get this thing done. But I have to point out what it says in the Word, because there is honor. There is honor that needs to be had to walk in blessing. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, has the Lord... So they're talking about Moses behind their back. Talking about their leader. Talking about their pastor behind their back. Look what it goes on to say. Has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not also spoken by us, and the Lord heard it? They're saying, just talking, joke about him. Now the man Moses was very meek, probably why the Lord used him, above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spoke suddenly to Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. Come out, you three, into the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in my house. I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently not in dark speeches, and in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore they were not afraid to speak against my servant Moses." He's saying, most prophets, they get it in a dream or vision. He says, I speak face to face with Moses. And he's saying, aren't you afraid to speak against my anointed one? The one that I've raised up to be a leader? How are you not afraid to open your mouth against him?
Yeah, that's right.
That's what God's saying. God's take on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to just tell you something. I don't have hero worship for my pastor. I have honor for my pastor. Right. The day that I ever say a word negative against him is the day something went really wrong in my life and I'm off the deep end. I will never ever say anything against the one that God has put in my life. I am afraid to do so.
Amen.
Yet people do it. People criticize and people say things. And I'll tell you what, I don't care for my sake. And in fact, you probably won't even ever hear me correct you face to face. You do what you want. It's like people that just call me Mike and not Pastor. I don't care. That's your deal. If you want Mike, you can have Mike, but I want Pastor Mike. And trust me, you want Pastor Mike. But I don't give a rip. You'll never hear me correct somebody that calls me Mike. Because that's between you and God. I don't care. You do what you want to do. I care for you.
Yeah.
Talk bad about me all you want behind my back. I'm just going to keep walking in the blessings. I'm just going to keep walking in the plan of God. I'm just going to keep doing what God's calling me to do. People's lives are going to continue to be changed. It's not going to stop me. I'm going to keep going.
Yeah,
it's hurting your life. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. How many of you here would knowingly drink poison and just drink it down? None of you. So when somebody starts talking junk about another Christian or starts talking about your pastor, you don't sit there and listen to that garbage. That's like saying, that's poison. You wouldn't sit there and drink poison. Don't sit there because that stuff's poison. That stuff's is intended, even if the person doesn't intend it, the intention behind that is to cause division and strife.
Yeah.
A perverse person stirs up conflict. They might not even mean to do it, but when you start doing that, you're putting thoughts in somebody's head.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good.
It is. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. And I'll just finish with this, and we can close our Bibles. Why am I saying close your Bibles? Because it gives you hope that I'm about to shut up. And I am. Don't be a Judas in this church. Don't be a Judas in this church. What was Judas doing? Going around on the surface, looking all sweet and happy, and stealing money, doing things that were harmful behind the scenes. What did Judas do to Jesus? Betrayed him with a kiss. With an embrace. Don't hug on me. And love on my children. And bless my kids. And tell me how wonderful I am. And behind my back, you're hurting yourself. And you're a Judas. And it didn't work out too well for Judas. And if you go on and look at what happened to Miriam, the hand of the Lord went off of her and leprosy came on her, sickness. Why? Because they walked out of the will of God and God had to take his hand off. Don't be somebody running your mouth and walking out of love. Your faith will get canceled out.
Right.
Don't be a Judas.
Right.
One way you're looking like one thing and then behind your back. See, people have criticized me. Oh, the vehicles he drives. Oh, he's so blessed. Let me tell you some things I don't do. I don't badmouth hurt other people.
That's right.
I don't badmouth hurt other people.
That's right.
I don't badmouth other Christians to other people.
Right. Yeah.
I don't run my mouth about my pastor. I keep my mouth. Now, other times that I have to repent, absolutely, but I'm quick to repent and get right back in.
Yeah.
My faith just constantly is continuing to be fueled. Why? Because I'm constantly endeavoring to be right.
Amen.
Too much depends on it.
Yeah.
And some people say, well, look at that. Just so you know, it's going to keep getting better and better and better for me. And if you'll do the Lord, it'll keep getting better and better and better for you. And if you continue to keep just choosing to walk out of love and not be in faith, keep spewing poison with your mouth, don't expect your situation to change. It won't. And that today, ladies and gentlemen, is as lovingly as I can say, put the love harness on. I'm pleading with you to do so. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. So grateful, so thankful for the word. Oh, the word gets into the cracks, praise God, and takes care of things. The word straightens that which is crooked out. Father, you know my heart. You know my heart, Father. I want people blessed. I want them to walk in this truth of love. They can't succeed, be victorious without it. So, Father, I thank you for revelation in the Word today. Thank you that people, if they had to make adjustments, Father, which I even as I preach it, I know I have adjustments to make, and so I'm assuming everybody else has adjustments to make. Well, we'll make those adjustments, Father. We're not going to be prideful, and there's kids involved, there's money involved, there's the plan of God involved, there's marriages involved, there's relationships involved, there's jobs involved, there's future promotions, all this stuff is hinging on whether or not we do this. So, Father, we're going to do it. We're going to put that harness on no matter how uncomfortable it is, no matter how inconvenient it is. We're going to put it on and we're going to walk it out. So we thank you for it, Father. If I could ask everybody to bow your heads and to close your eyes, I told you earlier that God is love. One of the greatest displays and examples of God's love was that He sent you Jesus. Now, I don't know everybody personally, and I don't know everybody that's listening over the computer right now or that will listen by the future on the archives. But I do know this, that the Bible says that it's easy to get to heaven. That if you accept Jesus, call on His name, the Bible says you're saved. So I ask everybody to bow your heads, close your eyes, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that question in your mind. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? If your answer is, I'm not 100% sure, I think so, but I don't know. Man, get off the fence of eternity. Because the Bible says if you will accept Jesus, you'll go to heaven. You say, well, I don't know if I'm qualified for heaven. If you believe in Him, that's the only qualification you need. It doesn't matter how much you've gone to church or how many good things or how many bad things you've done. Good things can't get you in and bad things can't keep you out. It's what you do with Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't embarrass anybody. I won't have anybody come to the front. I won't have anybody stand up or say anything on your own. Nobody's looking around. Everybody's eyes are closed. Everybody's heads are bowed. But if you want to receive Jesus and know for sure that you're walking out of here heaven bound, would you just slip your hand in the air? Anybody at all want to receive Jesus? Nobody's looking around. I don't like to rush this. Sometimes it takes people a second to respond. Maybe they're shy. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning and know that you're going to heaven, just lift your hand high in the air. I'll have you put it right back down. Anybody at all want to receive Jesus? Don't let this moment pass you by. Anybody at all before I close the service? Father, I don't see any hands, so I trust that one of two things are going on. Either we're all born again, walking with you, have you residing on the inside of our heart, we're on our way to heaven, or maybe somebody's shy and just didn't want to respond. Either way, Father, I thank you've made it simple. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, you were talking about me, I just was a little shy to raise my hand. Well, raising your hand doesn't get you born again. I can't even see the people that maybe would have raised their hand on live stream or in the archives. So thank God it's not raising our hand, it's the believing in Jesus. So if you're here listening and you say, you were talking about me, I want to receive Him, all you have to do is get in private with Him and say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. And I'm asking you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. Cry out to Him in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you run out of here, don't forget, walk in love. Go back over this message. Get this in your heart until you walk out those three principles. Don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30. We'll see you all back here. Have a great rest of the weekend. Super Bowl. Yay. You're dismissed. Hallelujah.